Good morning, this is Luma Digest. I'm Noura, Sunday the 17th of May. And honestly, today's stories feel like they're all asking the same question from different angles. Who's actually in control here? Let's start with AI and machine learning, because this one landed with some weight. ArcSieve, the research repository where academics share preprints before peer review, announced this week that it will ban authors for a year if they submit papers generated entirely by AI. Not banning AI tools outright, not saying you cannot use them to help draft sections or polish phrasing. But if the intellectual work is outsourced to a language model, if there is no human contribution beyond hitting generate, you are out for a year. The distinction matters. This is not anti-AI panic. This is a research institution drawing a line between assistance and replacement, between using a tool to refine your argument and letting the tool make the argument for you. And here's what I keep coming back to. This is ArcSieve, one of the most influential platforms in academic publishing. Millions of papers, decades of trust. If they are taking this stance, it means the problem is real enough that doing nothing is no longer an option. It means they have seen enough slop submissions that the integrity of the archive itself is at risk. For anyone building AI tools aimed at knowledge work, and that is a lot of you listening, this is the boundary being drawn. Assistance is welcome. Automation of the thinking itself is not. The market for tools that help researchers write faster, cite better, organize ideas, that is still wide open. The market for tools that do the research for them, ArcSieve just said no. Think about what that means for your product roadmap. Now, completely different corner of the tech world, but the same underlying question. Over in web development, Ubuntu made an announcement that feels like a quiet rebellion. While most operating systems are racing to embed cloud-connected AI assistants, your Mac checking with Apple servers, your Windows machine pinging Microsoft, everything needing an internet connection to think, Ubuntu is going the opposite direction. On-device intelligence, local processing, modular design, user control. Their reasoning is practical, not ideological. Your data stays on your machine. No API dependency, no cloud bill, no needing permission from someone else's server to use your own computer. And if you are a business concerned about data sovereignty, or if you have ever had a critical workflow break because an API went down, or if you have looked at your monthly cloud costs and wondered how sustainable this all is, Ubuntu just built the alternative. The technical approach is modular. Instead of one giant, always-on assistant that does everything, you install the specific models you need, speech recognition if you need it, text generation if you want it, image processing if your work demands it, nothing running in the background, nothing phoning home. What strikes me about this is the timing. Everyone else is betting that users will trade control for convenience. Ubuntu is betting the opposite, that enough people, especially technical users, developers, businesses with compliance requirements, will choose sovereignty over seamlessness. I do not know who is right, but I know which one I would pick for anything sensitive. Have a think about that for your own infrastructure. What are you running that absolutely needs the cloud? And what are you running in the cloud just because that was the default? Right. Back to AI for a minute, because OpenAI reshuffled their leadership this week and the details actually matter. Greg Brockman, co-founder, been there since the beginning, has been elevated to lead product strategy. And the reporting suggests this is connected to plans to merge ChatGPT and Codex into a unified system, one product surface instead of two overlapping tools. Now, this is not tabloid drama about who sits where, this is product direction. If you are building on OpenAI's APIs, or if your business depends on their roadmap, this tells you something about where they are heading. Consolidation, tighter alignment between chat and code, probably faster iteration because you are not maintaining two separate things. For developers, the question is, what this means for the features you rely on? Does the merge mean Codex-style autocomplete gets better because it shares infrastructure with ChatGPT's conversational layer? Does it mean pricing changes because the products are no longer separate? Does it mean breaking changes to the API? We do not know yet. But when a company consolidates overlapping products, it usually means they are preparing to move faster on the unified version. Something to keep an eye on if your codebase depends on their tools. And honestly, the pattern across all three of these stories is the same. Institutions setting boundaries, platforms choosing control models, companies consolidating to move faster. The question underneath it all is, who decides what happens next? Now let me take you properly technical for a minute, because there are two pieces this week that are absolute gold if you work in Python. First one, how CPython represents everything as an object. This is not a tutorial. This is a deep dive into the internal object model, type hierarchy, memory layout, how Python's foundational design actually works under the hood. If you have ever wondered why everything in Python is an object, why integers have methods, why functions are first class, why you can inspect the type system at runtime, This piece walks through the C structures that make it happen. It is the kind of reference you bookmark and come back to when you are debugging something truly weird. Second one, Python list internals, how dynamic arrays work, why append is fast, why inserting at the head is expensive, capacity management, reallocation strategies, the performance characteristics of every list operation you use daily. This is not abstract computer science. This is practical knowledge that changes how you write code. If you understand why list.append runs in amortized constant time but list.insert, zero item, runs in linear time, you write different loops. You make different architectural decisions. Both pieces are linked at luma.marble.codes if you want to go deep. Properly worth your time if you are serious about Python. So, stepping back from all of that, three stories about boundaries and control, two about technical foundations. The thread running through everything today is this. The systems we build embed assumptions about who gets to decide what happens next. ArcSieve is saying, researchers decide, not language models. Ubuntu is saying, users decide, not cloud providers. OpenAI is saying, we decide and we are consolidating to move faster. And those Python internals pieces, they are showing you how the language itself made decisions decades ago that shape what you can build today. None of these are right or wrong in isolation, but they are choices. And if you are building something, a product, a platform, a business, you are making the same kinds of choices whether you realize it or not. Worth thinking about on a Sunday morning. That is your Luma Digest for today. Thanks for being here. I will see you in the next one.